Thank you, Fred. Thank you, church. It's great to see you this morning. I hope everybody has had a great start to this week. I know that if you've been able to be a part of our Bible classes and, of course, here today, you've already had a great start to your week. This is the way we've got to start our weeks out, right? Worshiping our Heavenly Father. I am certainly thankful for passages like Psalm 145 that Fred just read to us, where it talks about all flesh should be praising God. We should all speak praises to our Heavenly Father. And that's what our mission is this year. Our theme is this year, behold our God. We all want to stand in awe of Him. Again, we talk about our God is an awesome God. Well, what is that root word of awesome? It's awe. We need to stand in awe of Him. In order to know God better, we must know His Son better. Jesus is who we've been talking about the last several weeks, about knowing Him and understanding Him and loving Him and serving Him. Last week we started a series of lessons talking about being rooted in Christ. We've discussed how in the parable of the sower, you recall that there was all kinds of different soil, right? Some of that soil was obviously good, and that's where the roots grow strongest. And that's the type of soil we want to be today. So my prayer is that this message will fall on soil that wants to be rooted. And so once we root in the foundation of Jesus Christ, we got to build on that foundation. And in order to build on that foundation, we've got to grow. In Matthew 28, Jesus instructs His disciples, and I would also say us, right, as disciples of Jesus Christ, to go into all the world, to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. Then He said, hey, I'm going to send you out, but I'm going to be with you. I'll be with you to the end. And because of that, we have a duty. Being rooted in Christ is amazing. Growing in Christ is amazing. But I haven't grown to where I need to grow until I can tell others about Jesus Christ. Now, you may say, well, Terry, that's really hard for me. Well, there are a lot of things that are challenging, right? We've got to stretch ourselves. We've got to step outside of our comfort zones, and we must be putting in a good word for Jesus around everybody we come in contact with. We've got to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Jesus spent His entire public ministry teaching His disciples to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. In order to be the salt of the earth and light of the world, we've got to evangelize. We've got to tell others about Jesus. That doesn't mean you've got to be able to preach a sermon. It doesn't mean that you've got to be able to quote all 66 books of the Bible. It doesn't mean that you've got to be able to quote Psalm 145 or do as Tad did this morning. Very powerful, Tad, by the way. Being able to quote a whole... That's not what God's asking, but we've got to teach Jesus. We've got to share Jesus with others. And in order to do that, we've got to grow. We've got to grow spiritually. You know, we understand growth, right? Just a week or so ago, I was privileged to spend time with a lot of good people at our home. And listen, all the adults were great, but it's the babies that were the star of the show. Okay? Baby Ilya, Elijah was at my house, and baby Olivia was at my house. And, you know, I look at these babies. And, of course, Olivia, we've seen her grow from being born to, you know, the size that she is now. She's still growing. She's still tiny. But, you know, I look at Ilya and I look at Olivia, and instantly I thought about my children. Ilya's a big boy. My son was a big boy. Olivia has a lot of hair. My daughter had a lot of hair. You know, and I think about that. And now I look at them and they're 17 and 13 years old. That's growth, right? That's fast. And that happens quickly, right? So we understand growth physically. We see babies grow up. We've seen our babies grow up. We see it happen to us all the time. But do we truly understand growth spiritually? Are we increasing spiritually? Logan, appreciate you reading this morning. Brother did a great job. He read from 1 Corinthians 3. Let me take your minds back there. If you want to be in that opening, that's really the source of our lesson today. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and let me just say, the church at Corinth had a lot of issues. They had a lot of issues. But you know what their main issue, if you get down to the root of the matter, so to speak, or where the rubber meets the road, they weren't growing. They were not growing spiritually. So when you don't grow spiritually, you can still come to church. They were still coming to church, and by the way, they were making a party of it. They were having a good old time. Worship, partaking of the Lord's Supper and such. But Paul's writing to them, and he loves them. They're his brothers and sisters, but through the Holy Spirit, he's going to correct them. I mean, they are divided. They are saying that they were baptized in the name of Paul and all kinds of things. And Paul just says, listen, I planted. You don't put the praise on me. All I did, I planted. Apollos, he came and watered. But God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now let me explain that to you. Paul is writing, I would imagine, with some frustration in his voice. And again, they're trying to worship him. We're baptized in the name of Paul or Apollos or whatever. You know, they're trying, and they've taken their focus completely off of Jesus, and they don't get it, and they're not growing. And so here's what Paul says, I am nothing. Apollos is nothing. It's all about God. But you know what Paul did and Apollos did? And I want you to know that it's not nothing, okay? God needs you, and he needs me. He needs us to go and plant. Plant seeds. Now, some of that seed, as the parable of the sower says, it's going to fall on rocky soil. Now, we want it to be ultimately the rock of our foundation. But that rocky soil, and you've seen it, there's a little bit of dirt in a crack, and a seed falls in there, and water comes, and it meets the nutrients it's supposed to have, and that seed opens up, and it blooms. It may be a weed, it may be whatever, but the sun's going to come up, and it's going to scorch it out. That happens in the church. Or maybe the seed falls in that thorny ground where we're surrounded by so much junk that it chokes out our spiritual growth. Or maybe again, we have the attention span of nothing, and that seed is planted, and before it even gets to launch, our minds are somewhere else, and the birds have come and eaten us up. All that to say this, in this room, there are people further down the road spiritually than others. And that's to be, right? In a crowd this size, we're going to have some that just started their walk. We're going to have some that started their walk just a few months ago, a few years ago, a few whatever ago. But then we're going to have some that's been Christians a long time. And all points in between. But the question is this. Am I willing to roll my sleeves up and work for the Lord? Am I willing to plant seeds? Am I willing to water where those have planted? Am I willing to do what God asked me to do? If the answer to that is no, I'm just going to sit here, then we have quit growing spiritually. I do believe with all my heart, part of the judgment scene, part of the evaluation is going to be, did they tell others about me? You see, we can live the life and we can be the example, and certainly we've got to do that all the time. But sometimes, as my buddy Bill says, we got to open that mouth. And we've got to tell others about what Jesus has done. Don't allow others to take words away from us. Giving your testimony is not a bad thing. Tell your story to other people. Be that witness, if you will, of what God has done for you. Now, we're not eyewitnesses. We didn't see it happen, but we know we've witnessed what Jesus has done for us. Let's tell others that. And let's get off the pew and start growing. The Bible, God in particular, is filled with condition-type statements. Hear me out. Adam and Eve, if you avoid this one tree, you will live in paradise forever. If, right? Noah, if you build this boat exactly the way I tell you to build it, everybody that you get on it will be saved from the flood. If. Abraham, if you have faith, you'll have as many descendants as the stars in the sky. See, we could go on and on, right? Here's what you need to understand about an if statement. God's going to do His part. He's never let His people down, nor will He ever. God is faithful, and He will always do His part. The question is, if we do ours. So if you want to put that if statement and tie it into 1 Corinthians 3, listen to this. God's going to do His part. If you will plant, if you will water, God will supply the increase. Do we really believe that? Whether we believe it or not, it is the case. So what I need, what you need, what we need, what God demands is for us to grow to a point that we are willing to plant and water. It's about evangelism. In fact, in Matthew 28, that's how He started it out. Go into the world, make disciples, baptize, and teach. Now let me say, when we go into the world and we make disciples and we baptize and we teach, not everybody's going to look like us. Not everybody's going to talk like us. Not everybody's going to act like us. I even say that they're not even going to smell like us. There are all kinds of people out there from all different backgrounds, in all different situations, that they all need Jesus. If we plant, if we water, God will supply the increase. You see, today I want to talk to you about some if statements. None of what I'm about to say is going to be about God not doing His part. All of it is going to be about us doing our part. If Noah built the ark, he and everybody in it would be saved. If Adam and Eve would have avoided the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would have lived in paradise forever. If you and I will grow, we will become evangelistic. If we grow, then we'll become evangelistic, then God will supply the increase. When I hear things like Friday that Taylor came up and spoke about, my family had gone to Orange Beach that day, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to make it. But you know what? Even though I wanted to be here, it does my heart good to know that the preacher didn't have to be here for evangelism to happen. Yes, I'm called to be an evangelist, right? I'm hired to be an evangelist, but we all are called to be evangelists in this room. Everywhere we go, around everybody we come in contact with, we need to tell our story. We need to tell how God has impacted us, and we need to let others know He can do the same for them. But it depends on us. If we abide in His Word, we will be alive. Today, if I had to ask you, do you want to be dead or alive? Now listen, I get it. Some know that heaven's waiting on them and loved ones are waiting on them and you've lived a good full life and you might choose to be with God. But for the most part, every one of us are going to choose to be alive. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right? We want to live. Well, do you know if you and I will live in this Word? First of all, growth's going to happen, right? Isn't this how we grow? Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Just because our theme expired last year doesn't mean the elders want it to expire in your life. We still want to be the lamp and light. We still want to be in the book. We still want to study. We still want to read. We still want to grow. If we will live, not just occasionally glance. Please hear me out. It's not occasionally glance. It's not once in a blue moon I'll pick it up and read it. It's not, hey, I know a couple verses in there and I'll say them in my head. If we live, abide in this Word, we will live. I chose alive because everything's going to start with an A, okay? We will live. How do you know that, Terry? Prove it. John 8:51. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Think about that. If anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. You want to be rooted in Christ? You want to know God? Then let's know Jesus. What did Jesus say? If you stay in my word, if you keep my word, if you do what I teach you to do, then you will not die, specifically, obviously, spiritually, right? In John 6, one of my, I guess, favorite passages of the Bible, but it's a very sad passage, really. Jesus has many disciples in John 6, right? In fact, He's fed 5,000. And they're following Him. You know why? Because their bellies were hungry, and now He's filled them, and they're like, this is the greatest man I've ever seen in my life. He took just a little bit of bread and a couple fit, and man, our bellies are so full. We've got leftovers. Everything is great. I'm going to walk wherever this man goes. Jesus said, watch this. I want you to know that one day you're going to partake of my body. You're going to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And they're like, whoa, this guy is weird. That's what they're thinking, right? This guy is strange. They were willing to grow as long as Jesus fed their bellies. But when they had to stretch themselves, they said, this saying is too hard for us. See you later. We will not follow you anymore. And that's what happened. So He turned to His 12. He said, do you also want to leave? It's where Peter comes up with that famous verse, that famous saying, right? Lord, to whom shall we go? Get this. You have the words of eternal life. If you truly want to grow today, then we've got to listen to the hard sayings. We've got to obey the hard sayings. There's hard sayings, there's easy sayings, there's stretch type sayings, there's comforting sayings. There's a lot of types of things that are said in this book. But here's what it boils down to. Do you love Him? Do you love Jesus? Don't just, is it lip service? Don't just say you love Him and you're not growing. If you love Him, you will keep His commandments. That's what He said. And He said, if you love Me, you keep My commandments, you stay in My Word, guess what? You will live. Now there's another side to that. If we don't stay in His Word, then guess what? We're not going to grow. We're not going to know Him more. And we're going to die. You see, there's a lot of feel-good-ism that we could say today, right? There's a lot of things I could say and build you up and you walk out of here 10 feet tall and feel good about yourself, but sometimes we got to do some examining. Am I growing? The question is this, am I abiding in His Word? Am I living in the Word? If I'm living in the Word, then I'm going to be growing. If I'm going to be growing, I'm going to be telling others about Jesus. If I'm going to be telling others about Jesus, then guess what? I am going to live. But if I'm not doing that, then I'm in danger of dying. Dying spiritually. So we want to be students of the Word. So that we can grow and become what God wants us to become. So that ultimately we can live forever. If we abide in His Word, we will be alive. Secondly, if we will obey Him, guess what? We will be in His amazing family. In John 15:14, Jesus says this, "You are My friends if you do what I command you." Now, truth be known, every day of our lives, even if we are abiding in Him and abiding in His Word, every day of our lives is not just a super great day, right? I mean, I think we just need to be honest about it. I've always tried to be real. I've always tried to be honest. And I'd love to tell you, hey, I'm the preacher, and I really do believe this, of the greatest church family in existence. I love this place. That's why I've been here 25 years. And I hope to be here however many more I got. I do love this place. And I do think I have a great job. But I'm going to sit here and tell you, not every day have I felt that way. There have been a lot of days when I wanted to quit. There have been a lot of days when I've been so bothered and hurt and struggling that I'm like, man, what am I doing? And so you get up on Monday and you think, this is the worst day of my life. I've had those days. Maybe you've had those days. Maybe you came in here today down, depressed, feeling like you have low self-worth. Can I say one thing, though, about that? This is an aside, and I'll talk more about this when we talk about building when it comes to VBS time. Jesus said to His disciples, the 70, when He sent them out, He said, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. And then He also said at another time, be careful of wolves who are in sheep's clothing. And all of that I think about outside this room. But if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes it's in this room. Instead of building people up, we tear one another down. You know what that does? It stunts growth. It hurts growth. And we got to be careful of that. We got to strive to be sheep at all times, following the Good Shepherd. Because what it does is it brings on low self-worth. I don't have any talents. I'm not good at what I do. Kent talked about the talents this morning in Matthew 25. And we quit. People quit. Now, that's not right either. Okay, I can't just get to a point where my feelings get hurt and I quit. I told you this a long time ago. I'd have quit a long time ago if the first time my feelings got hurt, I was going to be done. Okay? And so on the other side of it, we can't just quit. We've got a responsibility. But I truly believe this is His amazing family. And if we will obey Him, we'll always have a part here in His family. Here's the beauty of growing with God. If we do as He commands us, we'll be His friends. You know, and that means we will be His family. Think about Paul. Paul had to rely on the church for so much. Now, again, Paul was a persecutor of the church, but then he became an evangelist of the church. And there were times when they had to feed him, they had to house him, they had to pay, they had to do all these things, and he praised them for what they did. But Paul, he left all. He was a tent maker. May have had a great job for all I know. It may have been very prosperous. But he left it all to go out and teach souls about Jesus. Some would look at that and say, Paul, you're crazy. But God looked at it and said, Paul, I love your growth. See, Paul loved the church. He loved Jesus. He loved God. And because he obeyed, he went and listened to Ananias, and he was baptized into Jesus Christ. He became a friend and part of his family. Today, you don't have to feel alone anymore. God's family is not perfect because we're human. Now, we got a perfect leader, but God's family is not perfect, but it is amazing. And we can be a part of it today. Thirdly, this morning, another if statement. If we are in Christ, this kind of goes hand in hand with everything we talked about, we will be awakened. Now you might think, well, Terry, you just said if we abide in His Word, we'll be alive. Okay, I get it. But guess what happens if we're alive in Christ and we quit growing? Then we are sleeping spiritually. Might even say dead spiritually. You know, you hear the word revival. What does it mean? It means to revive what you had lost or what had stopped. Listen, May. The year 2020, Justin and I sat up here and we did the best we could. And I appreciated him for it, and I appreciated David and George and others who taught class and did those things. And listen, we did the best we could, but it was miserable. In my personal opinion, there's not been a revival since then. Listen, I'm thankful people have come back, but let's be truthful. There are a lot of people that still haven't come back. And we need to be revived. We need to have some type of revival because, folks, there is no way. Listen, I love that we have live stream. And to those who are watching it today, I'm thankful that you have it. I really am. But I'm just going to say this with all love in my heart. If you can be in this pew, it's a lot better than being at home. And we need to wake up. And I'm not saying that people stayed home to watch live stream aren't in Christ. I'm not saying that. But I am saying there is a danger. The more I remove myself from His amazing family, the more I remove myself from His Word, the more I remove myself from Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There comes a time in our lives and we feel dead. It's at that time that we need revival. We need awakening. I've told this story before and you're going to think, listen, if you love animals, I do too. I love animals. Please, I'm just going to preface this by saying I had a lot of anger sharks when I was a kid. Okay. My grandma gave me this bird, and she gave me this bird because it was Satan's bird. It was white with red eyes. I'm telling you, this thing had some kind of demonic nature about it. And it hated my grandmother. But for whatever reason, it liked me. And my mom and dad are here. They could tell you. Mama would go and change, and that thing would eat you up, wouldn't it, Mom? And that bird was so mean at times. But you know what? It loved me, and it, my grandma gave it to me, and so it was special. And so I would get the bird out, and I would let it just, you know, get around my lips and nuzzle and do all these things. And then one day, it bit the fire out of my lip. And I was filled with rage. And so I took that bird and I thumped it as hard as I could right in the beak. And instantly its eyes rolled back in its head. And its little paws went like this. And it fell over in my hands. And I said, oh no, I've killed my bird. Well, then I thought about my grandma. And I thought about, you know, how all those anger sharks, you know, they just filled up with rage. And so then I started crying. I've killed my bird. What am I going to do? And those tears, y'all think I'm crazy. I know, I am a little bit. But the tears ran off my face onto this bird. And it woke it up. I just knocked it out. But that bird was so happy. And that bird loved me, and it never once again bit me on the lip. See, it just needed a little revival. So maybe we need to be thumped in the beak, right? The best awakening we can have is to wake up and grow in Jesus Christ. So you won't forget that point at least. If we live with God, we will always be victorious. Psalm 91, 9 and 10, NLT reads it like this. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. Wow. I've preached Psalm 91, verse 1 and following as it's our 911. When you're in times of need, you need to go to Psalm 91:1. And you need to read that psalm. But I want you to hear it again from that version. If it's an if statement. The reason I use that version, because it's an if statement. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. Life can be extremely hard. And it can be filled with all kinds of unfortunate defeats. But you know what? David knew. He knew he would be victorious over the giant. Noah knew God was going to float that ark. You think, how do you know he knew, Terry? Because he did it. If he didn't believe God was going to do it, he would not have built it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew God was going to rescue them if he so desired. Today we need to know that we'll never have to feel defeated again if we choose to live with God. After all, Romans 8:31 reads, if God is for us, who can be against us? One final point this morning. If we will believe. Now let me explain to you now. Belief is not just a thought process. It's not just an idea. It's an active faith. If we will truly believe. Guess what? We will all leave here being amazed. In John 11:40, Jesus said this. Listen to this if statement. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? How beautiful is that? Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? In Matthew 17:20, you have these words, you don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth. if you had faith, even as a small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Now see, to me, that's amazing. The glory of God, amazing. If we will believe. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner, condemned unclean. For me it was in the garden He prayed, not my will, but Thine. He had no tears for His own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. When with the ransomed in glory His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Today, we can stand amazed. We can be victorious. We can be awakened. We can be a family. We can be alive if we love Him. If you love Him, then it's time to obey Him. If you did that some time ago, since then, you've spiritually died. Allow His tears, His sweat, His blood to wake you up again today. It's about being rooted in Christ. It's about building on the rock of ages. It's about growing. Today, do not let anything else stunt your growth. Get it out. If you need to become a child of the King, if you need to come home, let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.